Is it true that raising girls to be all sugar and spice deprives them of the grit and courage a more tomboyish upbringing could foster? Our guest this hour, who was one of the first female firefighters in San Francisco, makes the case for building gutsy, adventurous girls. And in the process, she says, boys could benefit too. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, May 9th. We will be talking with the author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. And we will welcome your questions and thoughts for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Carolyn Paul, a writer, a former firefighter, author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
It's very nice to have you with us, especially extra early from the West Coast. Thanks very much for getting up early to join us. You have done a lot of adventurous things, including flying airplanes, rafting down big rivers, climbing giant mountains, fighting fires, yet you say that courage didn't come naturally to you. What changed that?
I was born a pretty shy kid, and I was really scared of a lot of things when I was young. And I think what changed it was really two things. Well, first, my mom and someone that we probably don't... certainly as a kid, I didn't realize that my mom had done this, but only recently I discussed this whole thing with her. And she said, you know, that she had been brought up with a fearful mom, and she didn't want us to be brought up that way, too. So she encouraged us to do a lot of things.
Like what?
Well, you know, she told me just recently, she said, that her mom hadn't let her do anything because she was so, she just cautioned them against anything that was rough and tumble at all. And then when she was 21 and out of the house, she went on a ski trip with kids, and it was a revelation how fun it was. And so when she had us, I have a twin sister and a younger brother, she decided that we wouldn't have that life. And so she's not outdoorsy, and she was not particularly adventurous, but she wanted to encourage us to just try everything. So we sledded and skied and skateboarded and all those things. We were encouraged to try them.
It's interesting because I'm thinking of my own upbringing and my mom with Mother's Day yesterday. I think she taught us to be courageous, but she also was, I think, a little bit concerned that we were going to hurt ourselves. And I'm saying we, and I think she did, boys and girls, her sons and her daughters, was, you know, don't jump off that roof because you're going to hurt yourself, right?
Yeah, you know, actually studies have shown that moms, more than dads, are concerned about injury. Like, that's a very specific thing. Dads tend to think that everything will come out. This is, again, generalization, but studies show that dads tend to think that things will come out rosy, and anything bad that happens is sort of bad luck. But the situation itself is sort of not inherently perilous, whereas moms tend to really think that things will end in injury.
Yeah, and you're saying that we can have gutsy girls without injuring all of our girls.
Yeah, I don't think injury is definitely part of being gutsy, but I think that when we, a lot of times, the things that we face outside our comfort zone, that as girls is one of the things that we're taught to fear, that we're going to get hurt.
Yeah. So tell us about your first attempt at adventure when you were 13.
Oh, well, that was definitely not my first attempt at adventure. My first probably attempt that I remember is sledding in our backyard, where my dad basically just put me on a sled but forgot to tell me how to sort of end the sled ride. And so I didn't jump off at the end. I just went right into a tree.
Oh, no. And did you hurt yourself?
Yes, I had stitches. But, you know, back then with my parents, it just wasn't. That was considered sort of part of what happens when you're a kid.
But you also became, as a teenager, obsessed with setting a world record. Tell us about your crawling attempt.
Yes, I was, when I did really love the Guinness Book of World Records, and I wanted to set a record myself. But I did not have any skills at all. I couldn't juggle or run fast or pogo stick. So I decided to set a world record in something that demanded absolutely no talent, and that was crawling. And at the time, the record was 12 and a half miles. And for some reason, we thought that I enlisted a friend, and we thought 12 and a half miles was, you know, easy.
Easy peasy.
And, yeah, exactly. We hadn't even walked 12 and a half miles by that time. But for some reason, since crawling seemed to be something instinctive, we thought this would be no problem. We didn't train. We didn't even plan. We bought furniture pads the day before, and then the day of, we strapped them on our knees, and we set out on the school track. And, of course, right away, the lucky jeans that we were wearing began to chafe our knees. And within a couple miles, my friend, intrepid as she was, she dropped out. And then it began to rain, and then it got dark, and then I severely doubted why I was there. I couldn't remember. But I sort of doggedly crawled on. And just to give you a sense of the sufferfest, the first lap around the school track took me 9 minutes, and the last lap took me 45.
Wow. Wow. And
yeah, and then after 12 hours, I stopped, and I'd gone 8.5 miles, so I was short of the 12.5 mile record.
Yet, and I love this, you rightfully so are proud of that attempt. You did not make or reach a new world record, but you tried.
Yeah, and I really think that, and I think it was a big lesson for me that trying was way more important. Trying to set a world record is still pretty cool, and especially as an adult, I really see that. At the time, it took me a while to get over the fact that I hadn't, you know, succeeded, but in fact, failing at a world record is way cooler than not trying at all. And I think that's really an important lesson and one of the many in the book, that adventure teaches you failure, and that failure is really important, and that as a result, resilience is really important. And I think that this book, which is aimed at girls, but which definitely boys should read too, because they should see that there are really adventuresome girls and women out there. But for girls themselves, these are important lessons, because resilience is one thing that I think we're not taught at all.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about why boys should read the book, too. You wrote about how some schools don't necessarily, that schools will excuse boys from assemblies if you're talking about books with girls in them.
Yeah, I mean, this personally, it happened to a writer that I know, and actually I don't know her personally, but I did read her blog about it, where she was invited to a school, and she slipped out at the assembly and saw that not all the seats were full, and it turned out that the boys had been excused from the assembly because she wrote girl books in parentheses. And I was kind of shocked by this, and the same thing happened to me in an altered form when a school said that they didn't really want me to come speak because my book excluded boys. And at first I was, yeah, okay, I get that. It's called The Gutsy Girl. And the more I thought about it, the more it didn't make sense to me, because I remembered when I was a kid, I read a lot of, quote, boys' books by men that had no really strong female character that I could sort of specifically relate to. You know, books like Shane and Red Badge of Courage that I talk about. But I love those books, and it was great to read those books because, of course, books are something we read to get outside ourselves and learn more than about ourselves. And so the more I thought about it, the more it struck me as very wrong that boys were being given permission not to encounter these books, and certainly not encouraged to read these kind of books. And again, I think the category is, I'm generalizing what a girl's book is. but certainly a book by a woman or a girl with female characters is a book that's considered a girl book. And boys are not encouraged to read them by adults. And the irony, of course, is The Gutsy Girl, which is full of my own adventures, mishap, and mayhem, is actually perfect for boys because they, you know, if you want to talk in a traditional sense, they certainly seem to love those kind of stories.
Well, we'll hear more of those stories after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Caroline Paul is our guest. She is the author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. So do you think it's important for girls to be adventurous or not? Do we teach boys and girls differently when it comes to courage and adventure and taking risks? Our guest says, yes, we do, and we shouldn't do that. We should be raising gutsy girls, and we're talking about why, and we're welcoming your questions and your examples. Were you raised to be an adventurous or gutsy girl? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Caroline Paul, a writer, a former firefighter, author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. She was also one of the first female firefighters in San Francisco. And she wrote a piece that was in the New York Times, Why Do We Teach Girls That It's Cute to Be Scared? And I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Caroline, about that. You say that as a firefighter, the question you were asked most is, aren't you afraid of you know, going into a fire or doing firefighter duties? Not are you able to do it, but are you afraid?
Well, you know, I came in as a firefighter in 1989, and there were very few firefighters around the world, and certainly not in the United States either. And when I became a San Francisco firefighter, I was the 15th woman, which sounds like actually not so bad, except for there were 1,500 men. So we were very much an anomaly in the firehouse. And at the time, there were a lot of questions about whether women could do the job. And I understood that physically there was a lot of questions because, well, you know, first of all, Title IX had only come in, Title IX, which offers girls the same physical opportunities, sports opportunities as boys, came in 1975. So I was sort of the first generation to benefit under that. So it's true that men really hadn't had they hadn't seen women do a lot of physical things. So I definitely understood why there were questions about whether we were strong enough. And I certainly was. I'd been a rower at Stanford, and I'd been already on many rivers around the world as a whitewater rafter. But I got it. But the one thing that surprised me was when people asked if I was brave enough. That seemed like it wasn't genetic and startled me. So, so I wrote about that in the New York Times.
Yeah, and what do you mean by, do we really teach girls that it's cute to be scared? What do you mean that we're teaching them it's cute to be scared?
Well, we definitely, and studies show this, we definitely teach girls, encourage girls to be fearful at a very young age. And we're doing that because we want to protect them. So, but the study that I cited took place on a playground with kids like six, seven, seven-ish. And it was based around a fire pole, of all things. And the study showed that moms and dads cautioned their girls way more than their boys. And if their girls still wanted to try the fire pole, they were way more likely to assist them. And with the boys, they encourage them, despite any hesitation the boys might have, to go try that pole, and to and then they gave them guidance on how to do it on their own. So What does that say? That basically says that we think our girls are less able and more fragile, and that our boys are independent and brave. And so we're teaching basically this at a very young age. And what I think we're doing, we're not doing this to hobble our girls in any way. We're doing it because we think we're protecting them. And we're doing it because I think we have this sense that they are fragile and more able, which is ironic because at that age, 6, 7, girls and boys are physically equal, if not girls being emotionally and physically more mature. I think the studies show that, and parents will probably agree, that girls are stronger than boys at that time, and yet we're acting like they break much easier at a very young age. And that message that we're fragile and not able to do things on our own is sort of inculcated really early. And we're doing it, again, because it's a crazy feedback loop, I think. We grow up as women thinking that we are not strong and that we do ask for help a lot in situations. And then we're the men around us, and we think of ourselves that way, and then we have our own daughters, and we protect them that way by telling them not to do stuff.
And maybe it's obvious, but how do you think this translates into their adult lives, the little girls that are taught to be fragile?
Well, it's not obvious, I think, but when you teach a kid bravery, you're teaching them all these ancillary tools that are so important for life, like to look within oneself and access your confidence, to look at the situation at hand and make decisions about that, to assess your own skills. These are all great tools. So when you teach a kid bravery to look at for instance, at the fire pole and do it, you're giving kids all these different tools for which they'll use later in life that really teach leadership and confidence. And when you teach fear, which is what we're doing with girls, like we caution them, don't do it, you might get hurt. That's a very big thing that studies have also shown. It's a very big thing parents say, that they might get hurt. And that's something we carry through our life. When you're offering them just fear, you're not offering them any kind of assessment tools. And that's what this book is about, really, about not only how bravery is, first of all, fun, because you can do all these really fun situations as a kid when you're brave. You can try skateboarding. You can get on your bike and do that hill that's a little steeper. But it's really important because it gives you all these life skills. And then when we don't have them as women, we grow up, and then we're trying to shed this timid and deferent attitude, this inability to take initiative, and this unself-confident in our own decisions. And as I say in the article, we read books like Playing Big and Lean In, which are great books, but I just feel like they come way too late. We need to be reading books as girls about gutsiness early.
Our guest is the author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure, Caroline Paul. One of the first female firefighters in San Francisco is making the case for raising gutsy, adventurous girls. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own experiences, maybe being raised as a girl, whether or not you were raised to be courageous or take risks, or if you were raised to be fragile, ask for help. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Should boys and girls be treated the same when it comes to taking on outdoor adventures? We welcome your thoughts and your questions. We have Gary on Facebook who says, I don't know if tenacity can be taught, but when it does occur, trying to suppress it is hopefully futile, regardless of gender. What do you say to that, Caroline?
Well, I do believe it can be taught. And the reason I believe that is because bravery can be taught. Bravery is something that's learned. And I'm a great example of that. I think that, you know, as I said, I was really shy and hesitant. A lot of things scared me as a kid. You know, big kids, the book, Where the Wild Things Are, really scared the pants off me. And so I love the outdoors, and I wanted to be brave. And I think I learned bravery unconsciously as a kid by taking small steps outside my comfort zone. And I talk about this in the book because there's activities in the book for kids, and there is this this one activity called micro-bravery where I challenge the readers to do that, to take small steps of bravery, small acts of bravery, and to start learning what bravery feels like. Because the thing about bravery is that it teaches you resilience, or, as your caller says, tenacity. And I think that's what boys learn really early. They learn that going forth, you know, taking some action is really important and fun, and then when they fail, they get up and do it again. Whereas girls, this is really important, we're not taught that. We're taught right away that we're perfect or bust. You know, it's perfect or nothing. And I think that that's partly because, again, we're not raised to be brave. It's not part of our paradigm as girls. And I'm hoping to unhinge this idea that bravery is for boys and make it, it's not, it's gender neutral, it really is. Bravery is a great asset for all of us to have.
Yeah. So what tips can you offer for raising brave girls?
Well, I think the first one is to really recognize that we do treat our boys and our girls differently, because I think that's a hard one for a lot of parents. And once you realize that you're treating your girls like she's more fragile than her boys, then really sort of don't do that anymore, because she's not, especially at the age that of the girls and boys who'll be reading this book, which is before puberty. They're not more fragile. And then once you do that, really start with what I call, again, micro-bravery, is start showing kids how to get outside their comfort zone, because that's really important in life. That's how we learn.
Mm-hmm. And just how do we get past that, maybe that instinctual fear that prevents us from taking that first step or leap?
Well, fear is a great emotion. And I'm definitely, people think I'm against fear, and I'm not. I'm pro-bravery, which means that when I look at a situation, I mean, I was a paraglider for many years. So that's a sport that a lot of people look at. Like, you are flying under with basically a bed sheet with strings attached. It's a lot like hang gliding, but it's got a sort of a softer wing. And when I would stand on launch and wait for the wind, that's always the hardest part, because that's when fear really comes up, when you're assessing the situation, and then in the back of your mind you're like, you're on the top of a cliff, this is kind of ridiculous. And so I look at my fear when that comes up, and I hold it in front of me, and because I know it's an important reaction to the situation. But I'm also a really experienced paraglider. I'm not just standing on the edge of a really high cliff for no reason. And I look at my fear, and then I look at all the other emotions that are going on, which are exhilaration and confidence and anticipation, and that I'm really skilled, and that the weather is perfect for this. And then the wind comes in, and then I take a couple steps, and then I'm flying. So fear, in other words, is part of the package, but it's only one thing to look at. And I think with girls, we've just been taught to look just at that. And when we feel it, that it means the situation is bad. And what I'm asking is that we just use that as part of our toolbox, because when we don't teach girls to assess the situation and take fear and understand it and then look at all the other things that are going on, when she goes out and encounters a situation on her own that as parents we can't regulate, she's not going to have the tools to handle it. And I'm talking about situations not just standing on top of a cliff, but walking down a dark alley, you know, hanging out with friends as a teenager. I mean, by then you really need skills that comes with bravery. And again, here's the thing. Parents think that just because you're brave that you're going to go do something, but you're not. So if you're on your bike on a steep hill and you're standing there, bravery allows you to assess it. Is that hill too steep for me? Do I have the skills? Is my bike in good shape? That kind of thing. You don't have to, in the end, bike down that hill, but you've been looking and assessing it, and that's what's really important.
Unless you're my brother. Just kidding.
In which case?
We'll get to that later. He did bike down that hill twice and hurt himself both times.
But yeah,
that's just, that was just.
But he's fine.
Yes, he did survive. Natalie in Milwaukee, I hope we can get your call on the air. Natalie, go ahead.
Hi. So I was just calling to say that I was definitely raised as a gutsy girl. I was always the brush a little dirt off it, go and take those risks and challenges and see what happens, stand up for yourself, stand up for your friends and family, even if it's hard. And I think that the trend in literature now to have a lot of female heroines, like in the Hunger Games and in the Divergent series, is giving a lot of our girls some role models as for how to experience that bravery and how to embrace it even when you're afraid. And I feel like there's more of those books now than there were when I was growing up, and I feel like that's a really positive change for young girls and teenage girls to be able to see that in literature, that women can be more than just a sidekick.
Yeah, what do you think of that, that we have more role models maybe in literature and elsewhere, Caroline?
Yes, I mean, that's really true. When I was growing up, there were no role models for outdoor adventure or for simply brave women that I knew, that I was taught. There were, but we just didn't talk about them. The one I knew was Amelia Earhart, but she seemed like an exception. And you're so right. Like, now we have a ton of role models, and there are women doing amazing things, like Ashima Shirazi, who is one of the best climbers in the world, hands down, men or women. She's only 14. But the thing is unless we teach our girls to approach life with bravery, those role models are going to kind of fall flat. They're not really going to, we can't optimize them until we're teaching our girls to really embrace those situations.
Thank you very much, Natalie, for the call. Let's go to John in Boaz next. Hi, John.
Good morning. From a male's point of view, I would like to give some words of encouragement. Being that we are on the top of the food chain, just like the wolves and the lions, well, I just read 3 books on wolves, and the females do most of the hunting because they are faster and they stay near the caribou migration packs. And that's where the entire pack follows them.
Yeah, so, and John, why should human girls take note of that?
Well, because girls can have just as much fun out there. Just because males are suffering from testosterone poisoning sometimes, they become reckless abandon, and girls outlive men by 10 to 20 years.
Thank you very much, John. Well, he was saying that females are, I guess, stronger and faster in the animal kingdom, and we should make note of that, Caroline.
Well, no, I think that's a great... Well, first of all, John, I think that men have a lot to... Especially, you know, fathers especially have a lot to offer daughters in this arena of bravery, because you guys have been brought up learning about it, learning about that, taking initiative in a situation, even if you are scared or trepidatious. And I so believe that we are the she-wolf inside ourselves as human women. But the thing is that as a culture, we do not see that. The interesting thing is, the reason I know this to be true, that we are inherently brave, is that who is the bravest of them all, really not the Navy SEAL and really not the...
And I'm sorry, Caroline, we'll get back to you after news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with the author of The Gutsy Girl, Caroline Paul, who is was one of San Francisco's first female firefighters. She's making the case that we should be raising gutsy girls, and we should probably recognize that we raise girls and boys differently when it comes to courage and risk-taking and adventure. Most of us think it's okay for boys to do semi-dangerous things, but not girls. And she says we should be allowing our girls to take these risks, to be courageous. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have, what examples you might want to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think it's important for girls to be adventurous or not? Should boys and girls be treated the same when it comes to taking on outdoor adventure or adventure of any kind for that matter? Have you had to overcome fear and learn how to be brave? We welcome your thoughts and your questions. Susan on Facebook says, as a preschool teacher, I agree 100%. One of the things we tell parents are not to scoop them up and hold them every time they get hurt or feel frustrated. Keep their feet on the ground, acknowledge their feeling, and then help them fix the problem. The message then is, you can do this, rather than, I will rescue you. What do you think of that, Caroline?
Yeah, no, I think that as girls, we really are taught that being a little helpless is very feminine, and then someone will step in and help us. And I've been guilty of this, too. When there's looks like something like my dishwasher that I can't fix, my first thought is, I better call on my guy friends. And it's something that I think all of us do. And the men step up, and thank you for that. And often they don't really know what they're doing, but they've been taught to try. I know. And sometimes that's not a good thing. But, you know, they've been socialized that they have to at least pretend. And I'm not saying that's great, but I am saying that women can learn a lot from that kind of initiative.
Yeah, that's.
And I do want. Go ahead. I wanted to add that just. I didn't finish what I was telling John, but I wanted to say what surprises a lot of people when I say this is that, you know, we do have a sense that women and girls are fearful in general, I think, if we really look at that. And yet, the bravest sort of genre that we know is the mother. You know, it will not surprise us when the mother stands in front of the charging pit bull to save her kids or lifts that VW bug up. So that's why I know that inherently women and girls are brave.
Yeah. And that's, I'm going to confess to something. I have jumped out of an airplane with a parachute on.
And awesome.
But I am afraid of that spider in the bathroom. And Rob, my husband, has to take it outside. So why is that, you think? I don't know. I mean, I just have to take that spider out myself.
Well, being afraid, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's how you handle being afraid. And men are afraid, too. And I've been in some really hairy fire situations. And I've had men, I remember once watching a big fire. We were in the middle of it, and it was huge. And the guy next to me said, wow, I'm afraid. And I was shocked because I'd never heard this, you know, in a situation. But it's okay to be afraid, and a lot of times the men are, but they also go forward anyway, and that's where the real bravery begins. And that's what I think we should be teaching our girls, is that fear is not a stopping point, and it's definitely not cute. And we do act like it's cute because when as girls and as women, and there's that spider, and we kind of scream and we like titter and we ask for help, people don't blink twice. And they go in and help. But if a boy did that, I mean, they would be worried for his future.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Let's go to Mark in Milwaukee. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Good morning. I agree with most of the premise of the guest, but I think I hear that you say some things that women should be doing, that I hear dangerous things, like, you know, you hang glide, for instance. I understand that some things can be done as safe as possible, but I don't think it's, I think a lot of these things, like, for instance, most girls don't ride motorcycles. That would be a thing that they kind of shy away from. There isn't as many out there. And I'd say, that's a good thing. You know what? I knew a girl who rode motorcycles. She had an accident. She's had like 20 surgeries on her knee. I think getting women into some of these things, but that doesn't mean you don't do jet skiing, you don't play soccer, you don't, you know, play sports, things like that. I raised my daughter to do a lot of things, but I don't want her riding a motorcycle, for instance. I don't want my son riding a motorcycle.
Yeah. So where do you draw that line then, though, in terms of, is it just dangerous things that boys and girls shouldn't do, Mark, or are there certain semi-dangerous things a boy can do that a girl should not?
Well, you know, yeah, where is the line? I mean, motorcycles, a lot of people would say, hey, that's a very mainstream thing. You know, but jumping out of airplanes, for instance, people seem to be like where they need to do these things because what? Life's not interesting enough, not exhilarating enough, so I need to jump out of an airplane to, you know, if they all of a sudden are killed or severely injured in some of these activities, I don't think they realize what it will do to their parents, their siblings, things like that.
All right, so some of these things are just plain too dangerous, Caroline. There's no reason to teach our girls to do things like go ride a motorcycle.
Right. Well, Mark, you joined my mom in this. I totally hear you. And again, I think this book is about a lot of my very exotic mishaps and adventures that take place around the world, and things like paragliding or climbing Denali. Things that have definitely a risk, and I'm not telling kids that they should do exactly what I do at all. I think they're just fun stories with life lessons in them, and it's and everybody has their own comfort zone, and it's that I want people to push out of. And so, of course, my stories are over the top because that's fun to read. But the lessons, and I think kids really get this, are that being brave is important and opens up a lot for you. But yeah, you know, you don't have to ride a motorcycle to do that. You can. Being brave is not being stupid, is what I'm saying. And I talk about that in the book because I have been stupid.
Walk us through your should you jump off that cliff flowchart.
Yeah, the book is illustrated and there's a lot of fun graphs, and we have a should you jump off that cliff. So it's sort of, and the very first question that you have to ask when you're at the edge of the cliff is, are you scared? And then, will you or will you not? Well, the flowchart says, are you scared? Yes. Okay, you still have to think about jumping off the cliff. Are you scared? No. Okay, now go to the next one. So in other words, being scared is not necessarily a reason not to jump off that cliff. And then it goes through other, you know, fairly tongue-in-cheek assessments and to see whether you should or should not. And that's fairly typical, I think, of life. You face something, and just because you're scared, it's not the reason not to do it. I'm not saying to jump off the cliff, but I am saying check it out.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mark, for the call. Next, let's go to Ron in Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, Ron.
Hey, good morning, Joy.
Morning.
What I was going to say was my daughter, when she was 5 years old, was given a machete for her birthday. And her Asian mother believed that she needed to learn how to split coconuts at that age. And she did. She learned how to handle that thing with safety as a five-year-old. And interestingly enough, I was on hold while the motorcycle thing came up. At 10 years old, she was jumping an 80cc motorcycle on a dirt track. And today she's 24, and she's a certified welder.
Oh, wonderful.
I think that's amazing. That's just so great. And a friend of mine, Gaver Tully, wrote a book called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kids Do. And they are things like carrying a pocket knife, learning to light a fire, probably handling a machete at five. I don't remember. But things like that teach kids responsibility. And it makes them into real leaders. And it gives them really character-building characteristics. So I think that's great.
So what do you think the impact on the larger society is when girls, or if girls, are encouraged to be more adventurous?
Well, I think that women right now have a lot of opportunities in job opportunities that we're not fully taking advantage of. Studies show that we underestimate ourselves. So if there's a job opportunity that comes up and we're not 100% qualified, we will not go for that job. Men, if they look at the job opportunity and they're at least 60% qualified, they're like, I'm in. And that's the kind of initiative that I think we as women really need. And once we, this is a tough world, and facing it with bravery is so much more effective than facing it with fear.
Let's take one more call. Clyde in Cedarburg. Hi, Clyde.
Hi. Thank you very much, Carolyn, for your book. You sound really interesting. Your book sounds really interesting. It's something that I'm looking forward to reading to learn more about, to learn about bravery. Bravery is a survival skill. It's not daredevil stuff. That's not the bravest person that I've ever met was a woman who happened to be a Southern Belle. She was very slightly built. She was a cheerleader. She was had ballet lessons. She was a ballet dancer, and she stepped out of the mold when she, with her father, was a white citizens council leader in the city that they lived in, and she joined the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And.
And I'm so sorry, Clyde. I didn't know that it was going to be such a important story, but we're out of time. And she sounds very brave, joining the civil rights movement. Bravery is a survival skill, is what he said, Caroline.
Yes, and it's also, bravery doesn't just take place in the outdoors, which is the great thing he's pointed out. And also, just because you're a girly girl doesn't mean you can't be brave. That's what I want. Bravery is for both girls and boys. Men and women.
Thank you so much for being with us. Caroline Paul is the author of The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure. Thanks to producers Marika Suval, Brian Chasso, and Niaja Ellison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.